Cali, Cali, I'm going back to Cali. I don't think so. I'm going back to Cali, Cali, Cali.
Back on downtown, it's time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joining us. Hello there, Eric.
Hello, everyone. Man, I didn't see that one coming. I don't like it. You called me a young man when you picked up the phone with me. Now I feel like a very young man. I don't know the last time I heard that. That's great.
Like to keep you on your toes, throw a little something surprising at you.
Thank you. Yeah, I know. Lord knows I don't need it, but I'm going to take it in stride anyway. Good. Well, I hope everybody's well. It's a beautiful day out, isn't it?
Oh, it's amazing.
I was telling Rich, I'm giving up American football for the season, so I'm getting excited to go out and think about my European style football and coach my undefeated youth team, if I may brag a little bit. Undefeated, that is, as opposed to the very, very defeated football team that I don't even know if I root for them anymore.
Last year seems like such a distant memory now.
I don't like feeling like these teams that are perpetual losers. I don't like it.
No, it's not fun.
I'm not good with it. You know, they seem to revel in it. I'm like, no, this sucks. This is terrible. I disapprove. So that's that. So let's go back to Cali, where there's a highly successful football team that I wish I rooted for, but I'm not going to do that. Even though, man, there's so much goodness there. All right, so let's chat with Cali. Just to remind you all, last week we kind of started in, and I talked about what makes it a famous wine region, and also just the fact that it's a gigantic wine region. And I reminded you that really from what is technically Mexico, so Baja California, all the way up through. Basically, almost the entire coast, as well as much of the inland regions that are known a variety of ways, the Sierra foothills, of course. But just to bear in mind, as the reminder, that you have the Sierra Nevada mountain range, which is a tremendously old geologic formation, lots of fun rock junk has crumbled off of it over the years, providing a tremendous amount of interesting agricultural areas inland, as well as the more famous things on the coast, your Napas, Sonomas, etc. Of course, I must remind people that in recent years, the agricultural scene in California, not just viticulture, but agriculture, has really suffered. We're having massive amounts of either too much water or too little water. Yes, of course, there's such a thing as dry farming and viticulture, but a lot of these places that are relying on regular climatological conditions are suffering, and they're not doing very well. So just something to keep in mind as we talk about the origins of California. So the origins, of course, sort of started not only because of the massive failures of trying to get grapes growing on the East Coast, which of course were stymied by the phylloxera louse, but also the East Coast had a different swath of white invaders, if you will, and the folks that went to the West Coast were primarily Hispanic. And indeed, the first vineyard that was planted was in the San Diego area, in the San Diego Mission, by a Franciscan monk, Junipero Serra, again, obviously of Hispanic origin. And that was in 1769, rather. That's kind of where it started, and it grew from there. But again, it was sort of, wherever you find Europeans, you find people bringing grapes to try and plant, or clippings to try and plant, and the phylloxera louse just wasn't there. So it was like, hey, sweet, this is all working very well. So the grapes grew beautifully. Phylloxera did eventually get to California. We'll talk about that in a second. But early on for the first 100 years or so. It was great. And what was being brought? Well, of course, you had Zinfandel, which has made its way from Croatia. And, of course, several months ago, and actually not that long ago, but we were talking about Italy. Remember that Primitivo is also that same grape, just brought down to the boot of Italy as opposed to California. You had Matero, which is Mourvèdre in the French nomenclature. So, again, these thick-skinned red grapes that could handle the heat. So that's really where people were at. And then, of course, you had what is known as the mission grape, Pais, which also spread down into South America, which we'll talk about at greater length when we get down there, because that is still sort of it's being brought back as a sort of a thriving thing. But in California, you really had these sort of famous grapes that you all know and love. But indeed, by the late 1800s, phylloxera, the louse, had arrived in California. And so, you had a lot of dying vineyards until, again, people realized that if you grafted these things onto the New World grapevines that were already here, the phylloxera louse didn't really like those. So that's how we kind of got around it. And eventually all the vineyards of the world sort of perked back up. But right after that finished beating up California, we had, what's it called? Prohibition. That's right. pretty much everybody who was smart was like, oh, no, we're not making wine here. We're making sacramental wine. This is strictly for the churches, folks. And I'm not kidding. Like, this was a big, big thing. Strangely, when Prohibition went away, they went back to making wine. But who knew? So that was a big deal. And that's a decade, folks. I mean, a decade of it. I mean, look how much COVID messed us up. And that was just a couple of years. A whole decade of, your industry is totally illegal. Woo! But these people survived it, so well done. And then, of course, there was just a couple other things that beat America sideways, like, two World Wars, Dust Bowl, all sorts of things. However, those things drove people to California, and that's really what sort of started California as this promised land, agricultural area, and those world wars. And this is what's critical to what we talked about last week, how I was saying, well, they're making wines. Of course, everybody thinks of California wines these days as these overblown jammy things. But back in the day, the wines that were being made in California were being made by people who had come from Europe, who were making wines like they had made in their native Central European regions. A lot of people who were forced out because of occupying forces who said, we really don't like your kind, whatever, and fill in the blank of what your kind was. But some of the absolute most famous winemakers of that sort of middle of last century were driven here, driven there, I should say, because of all that. So I guess we owe international strife with why California became such a vibrant wine country. Now, today, of course, it's far, far more advanced than it was back then. Like I said, the whole Central Valley has been given over to a lot of different things, but that has been really rejuvenated as a region where you can still get affordable wines because, of course, as soon as you slap Napa on something, the price goes up, twice, three times, things like that. And the other thing you're seeing, just to remind people before I run out of time, and we'll start talking about other things about California next week, like the Rhone Rangers and the other stuff that's going on there, is that the appellation of California, so just to remind everybody what an appellation is, where the grapes come from, and sometimes more deep than that, but a lot of California wines, because of the climate crises, if you will, a lot of winemakers are starting to expand where they're getting their grapes from. So you're starting to see even well-known wines change their appellation from something very specific to something a little looser, just in case, just in case. Of course, that's smart. Does it mean that the wines are any better or worse? No, they're still really gifted winemakers, but it is something to keep in your keep in the back of your mind as you're buying wine. So there you go. Oh, and just to remind everybody, 90% of all wine consumed in America comes from California. So that's just another little factoid to throw in there. Pretty funny. So yeah, like I said, next week we'll talk about the Rhone Rangers, New World, Old World, et cetera, stuff like that. And in the meantime, I am going to go coach the Timbers. And I hope everybody has a wonderful week.
All right. I hope there's nobody named Jones on the team.
No. But if there was, I'd be forgiving because there's